In this episode of the Awaken podcast, we're going to share with you how you can become empowered as an empath. If you consider yourself an empath, a highly sensitive person, a deep feeler, someone who tends to take on the emotions and energy of other people, we want to help you to experience the gifts of this way of being in the world. We believe that being an empath is a superpower. We're going to show you how. We're going to highlight some uncomfortable truths about what it looks like to be disempowered as an empath so we can help you break out of those patterns as we have and thrive. We'll see you in the episode. Welcome to the Awaken podcast,
where we share practical spirituality for modern living.
Join us as we dive deep into conversations about healing and transformation.
Let's go.
Are you feeling good?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's get our cacao. For those of you who are at home, maybe you have a tea or a cacao or a little matcha or something. We're just going to take a moment to take three deep breaths and set an intention for this conversation. So let's breathe. Begin with our first inhale. Breathing at your own pace.
My intention is for anyone that's tuning in to really deeply understand and know that being an empath is a superpower, and you can use it to create massive positive change, not only in your own life, but in everyone around you in their lives.
Love that. My intention is to remind all the empaths out there that it is a superpower and there is a way to be in this world as an empath that can work to your advantage, and it's a win-win-win. So it's not just about what you can get as an empath, but it's about how you can be in the world that makes you a greater contribution to everyone around you.
Yeah.
So let's go for that win-win-win empath life. I'm here for it.
Let's go.
Cheers.
Cheers. So I think a good place to start, because there'll be so many people tuning into this conversation that know they're an empath, know they're like a highly sensitive person, but maybe there's a few people at home that haven't actually, you know, come to the conclusion yet that they are an empath. So let's break it down from our perspective and define what an empath is.
Yeah, so from my perspective and understanding, an empath is someone who feels the emotions and energy of other people. And it goes beyond just being aware of it. This goes into an absorption level
feeling
of awareness.
Yep.
Where there is a merging that takes place as an empath, where you start to feel the emotions of the people around you.
Like, hold on, is this my emotion that I'm feeling, or is this someone else's emotion that I'm feeling? There's that kind of merging process that you might not actually know until you question that.
And sometimes I think people get confused between the difference of a highly sensitive person versus an empath, and often we can be both. Mm. And I would say that the difference is key here, that as a highly sensitive person, you may be sensitive to external stimulus. For example, it could be people's energy around you,
or light.
It could be light,
sound,
exactly, all different forms of stimulus. However, as an empath, we absorb, we carry, we experience, we live as a merged individual with the environment. And so that's where becoming aware of your empathy and that merging that's taking place is so important, because sometimes we don't even realize that what we're feeling isn't even ours.
Yeah.
And when you add to that being a highly sensitive person, life can be a lot. Mm. So we both consider ourselves empaths and HSPs, or highly sensitive people.
Mm.
So we know a bit about this topic.
Yeah,
we've been through the full spectrum of being totally disempowered struggling with it, feeling like this is such a burden, to then going into like, well, this is the superpower. This is making life so much better. Win, win, win.
Yep. And that's how we created our company, Awaken Breathwork. And we've been able to travel all around the world and help thousands of people with the superpower.
Exactly.
You know, but at first it did start off where we were disempowered empaths. And we didn't even know that we were empaths. We had to figure this out along, you know, the way that we were absorbing and taking on other people's energy and emotions to our own detriment. So let's start there. What was it like for you growing up, you know, as a kid, being an empath and a highly sensitive person?
Yeah, I think I want to just say before I unpack that, that this often does begin in childhood. So I think it's useful to go all the way back to be like, oh, I can see why I've become an empath. And for me, I think that developing a highly empathic ability was one of the ways that I kept myself safe, because it helped me to attune to what was going on so that I could manage any potential stresses, triggers, people around me being upset. I knew how to adapt, and I was like a chameleon. So I was often managing how I was being in relation to what other people needed, rather than just being centered in, well, how do I feel and what do I want and what am I interested in right now? It was like, what is needed from me? So it became kind of a reactive way of being. And as a young person, I think I was more on the disempowered side of empathy, where yes, it served me because it was an adaptive strategy to help me attune, but also I would get really confused. And for example, like with, let's say, family, if one of my parents was upset, I would feel upset. If they were stressed, I would feel stressed. If they were depressed and down, I would feel depressed
like
and down.
Like you can't have your own experience outside of what's happening around you. You kind of get lost, or you merge with what's happening around you.
Exactly. And sometimes we'll playfully call that getting lost in the source, right? Because you're like, I don't really know where I begin and end and where you begin and end. It's like, we're one right now. And so I would feel excess stress. And I've spoken about this in another episode, that I really struggled with feeling like there was so much going on within me, so many undigested emotions and sensations and experiences. And I think being an empath has a lot to do with that, because when you're feeling things that you have no logical explanation for, where you're like, why do I feel this way? This makes no sense. Like, I was feeling great 5 minutes ago, and then I saw this person, and now I feel like crap. Like, my energy has tanked, or I have this pain in my body, and I don't even know where that came from. So that was really confusing. And now, you know, fast forward to being aware of this stuff, I'm like, oh, it's because I'm an empath and I have the ability to ask questions and practice discernment. So let's talk about you and what you noticed.
Yeah, well, from an early age, I just noticed that I was really aware of people's emotional states without them having to express or tell me how they felt with their words. I could just feel how they were feeling by being in their presence. Yeah. So I had access to more information that maybe other people, you know, were not aware of. So with having that information, I could be more empathetic. I could be more understanding. I could really meet people exactly where they were, not from what they were telling me, but how I was feeling in my body based on what they were feeling.
Right.
So that was a way that I could like get to know people on that deep level.
It's almost like the closest thing to telepathy.
Yeah.
Right. Where you may not be reading people's thoughts, but you can read people's feelings. And with that ability, you can connect on such a deep level. And I think some of the best caretakers and healers and people helpers are empaths, because we're so attuned and we're so able to meet people exactly where they are with what they need without them having to even say anything. And then, you know, I think when we go through life, a lot of people are like, shouldn't you just know how I feel? Like, I need you to meet me with what I need. And empaths can kind of do that.
Let's talk about the disempowered empath and the shadow side of being an empath, because there is a shadow side and it's important that we discuss it, because these are the traps of being an empath. And,
For
you know, for
sure.
everyone listening and tuning in, you might start to recognize some of the things that we're going to unpack that maybe you've been doing in the past or you might be currently doing now. And as you become more aware of these things, you can start to create changes and you can start to use different protocols to protect your energy and to manage your energy in a way that you're not getting lost in the source. So let's unpack it. I think one of the things that I've noticed around being an empath is,
as an adult, right?
Is when you don't manage your energy correctly. And what I mean by that is if you walk into a space and you're aware of other people's energy and emotions, and you're aware that there's people that you shouldn't be around, for whatever reason, you just know and feel that, but you decide to stay in that environment anyway, or you spread your energy too thin by saying yes, 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 yes to all these different things, and inside there's a part of you that wants to say no, but you're not honoring yourself and your own voice and what you actually need, meaning like you're losing yourself in the external world, and it's detrimental to you and your health and your energy, then that's your responsibility to take control of and learn how to manage your own energy so you don't lose yourself in the external environment and other people's emotions and energy. So that's a major key.
I think with that being said, a helpful idea for people to understand is this idea of a window of tolerance, and we have capacity. That's another way to put it. What is our capacity? And as we become more empowered and we have more tools to self-regulate, you know, regulating our own emotions, we have practices that support us to cleanse and clear our own energy.
Hashtag awaken breathwork.
Right. Right. Then our capacity expands. Mm. But knowing your capacity, knowing where you're like, you know what? I'm overstimulated. I'm at my limit. I'm feeling things that don't belong to me and I need to go and empty out and clear.
Yep.
Knowing that is everything, because like you were saying, I've had stages in my life where I have burnt myself out by placing myself in environments where I can feel so much and it's not moving. Mm. It's like, especially for me, when I was hanging around people who weren't doing any inner work whatsoever, it's like sitting in a stagnant pool of water.
Yeah.
There is no movement, and the empath can feel that energy and emotion that's unresolved and is like, what do we do with this? So as a disempowered empath, what I would do is always go into that default role of being the fixer and the helper and the problem solver. So it's like, okay, none of you want to do any inner work. None of you want to resolve all of these emotions and you've got these dysfunctional ways of being. I'll do it for you.
Yep. And often that can be an inability to sit with the discomfort of what you're feeling in your environment.
Yeah. So, and that's the empath that you're talking about for clarity. Yeah,
totally.
The empath that is sitting in that, let's say, that stagnant pool as an analogy here. And instead of being able to sit with it as the observer and be like, oh, this is what's happening. What do I need to take care of myself right now? I.e., maybe I need to remove myself from this situation.
The key is, what do I need? But usually the disempowered empath might be going into a state of fixing, helping.
What do they need?
Yeah, what do they need? And this is not okay. I need to do something about it. Or the flip side, the shadow side, will judge and kind of get into a space of even having a lot of resentment for other people because they're in this environment where people aren't doing the work and it's making me feel a certain type of way. So I resent these people for not doing the work or not taking care of, you know, what they should be focusing on.
And making me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable to acknowledge right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you're like, whoa, I didn't even know that I was making all of this about me.
I didn't know that I was making other people wrong for just their life experience because of my inability to sit with the discomfort of things not being okay.
So a key takeaway here is know your own capacity from one moment to the next. And if you're in a situation where you feel like you don't have the capacity to be with what is,
which is going to change on a daily basis,
right?
Your capacity and window of tolerance is going to change on a daily basis. And that's another key.
Yeah. And then to be able to, if you aren't able to sit with that and allow it to be, and you start getting disgruntled or triggered, that's your sign to do what you need to do to self-regulate, to take care of yourself. Maybe it's that you need to remove yourself. Maybe it's that you need to bring your focus back to your own body and focus on your breath. And that has been a simple but life-changing practice for me, is to notice when my energy and attention is going out, like I'm in the merging, and to remind myself, hey, Hella, you can bring your focus back to your breath. And you can also ground yourself and reorient yourself to your own energy by focusing on something as simple as my feet, my hands, like my belly.
My breath.
Right.
So let's talk about this, because this is really juicy. We're talking about being in that dysregulated state. Let's break down the stress responses through the lens of an empath. So for people tuning in at home, they might start to notice when they're in a dysregulated state, when they're in the stress response to their external environment. Mm-hmm. Let's unpack that.
So the stress responses that are most known, right, is you've got your fight and flight. That's what most people know about. But there's also the freeze response and fawning. And these are responses that the body, the mind go into to keep us safe, to manage and respond to stress. Mm. And if we're looking at it specifically from the perspective of being an empath, what I want to unpack a bit more is, how do we cope with merging? How do we cope with absorbing emotions and energy of other people? And how does that stress, right? Because it is a stimulus, a stress. How does that stress impact our way of being?
Well, you can talk about the fight response and I'll talk about the flight response. So growing up for you as an empath, how would you respond to that fight response that would come up?
So the fight response has such a spectrum, as do all of the stress responses. And it doesn't always look like aggression, although it did for me at times. But it started with the desire for control.
Yeah.
Like a desire to dominate and control a situation.
Yeah, like this is not okay and I need to do something about it to
change
fix it.
Yeah. I'm going to exert my energy on this situation to change it because I don't like how I feel right now.
Mm.
And I don't like how other people feel right now because I can feel it. So I'm going to do something about it. And for me, that looked like being a super controlling kid. Like I would go through my mom's drawers. I would tell her what to do. I would go through these bouts of silent treatment, which was my way of letting her know that, yeah, we're at war right now and I'm angry. And I'm going to use this to manipulate you, to make you do what I want you to do so that I can feel better.
Yeah.
So that was one example.
The flight response could also manifest in that feeling defensive or reacting to things in a really harsh way where you make everything about yourself,
but
right?
I think more the flight response is avoidance. It's running away, it's pulling away, it's distancing yourself.
Oh, yeah, for me, the flight for response.
Oh, are you talking about fight response?
Yeah.
I misheard you. Okay.
Yeah, for me, the flight response manifested in the form of self-isolating because I was overwhelmed with everything that I was feeling. So there was a lot of a sense of anxiousness and feeling like everything that I was feeling in the moment was too much and I didn't know what was mine and what was someone else's. So I'd self-isolate and I would internalize everything. And in internalizing everything, I would start to sort through things. But to do that, I had to really isolate myself from everything happening in my external environment, just to even ground and find my way back to myself, right? I'll just lose myself in everything. So that was how the flight response would manifest for me. And then I guess another way would be staying really busy, because I felt so overwhelmed, I'd just keep myself extremely busy.
Very common.
Yeah.
Distractions, whether it's scrolling on the phone or going and shutting yourself off in your room or avoiding talking to
people. I remember doing that growing up for so many years, just shutting myself up in my room.
Yeah.
Listening to music.
Right? There's a level of rationality to that where you're like, I'm tapped out.
Yeah.
I need space.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if anyone can relate to that as a teenager, just shutting yourself in your room, listening to music, just isolating yourself, because that's the way I grew up. And music really supported me through that time. You know, I found pieces of myself in music, which really supported me to understand myself and the world. So we're moving into the freeze response. I felt this so much growing up, where I felt frozen. I felt stuck. I didn't have the life force or the energy to take action on things. I just felt like I'd go through these cycles of knowing what I wanted to do, but not having the capacity to actually take action on it at all.
I agree. I think for me, feeling overloaded and overwhelmed by how deeply I felt was a big trigger for procrastination, where I would just feel burnt out before I'd even begun.
Yeah, the body just goes into shutdown. It's like too much, too fast, too soon.
Yeah. And then even with socializing, I know that you and I have both struggled with this, where we'd go out and we'd be around a group of people and then we'd feel so drained the next day and not know why, and not know what to do about it. And even we'd, let's say, have a visitor over, or we'd go and see someone, or we'd even be going through a public space, and we would feel something and be like, why am I feeling this? Or even having intrusive thoughts, right? Where you're like, this is not my thinking. Like, I don't really think like this. And suddenly I'm thinking about this type of thing, and you go, oh, wait. And when you catch it, you realize it's a part of potentially being an empath. You know, for some of us, we experience it not just at the level of emotions, but energy
and
the mental.
And all of that energy and sensation and emotion can lead you to feel shut down. Yeah. So that's the freeze response, right?
And I just also want to add here something that we'll unpack more in future episodes is dorsal vagal shutdown, which is like the extreme version of the freeze response. And that is where we can get
really stuck,
like chronically stuck.
We've got no energy to get out of bed. We've got no energy to do really anything in life. And we're just in this state of feeling completely shut down.
Yeah. And when I was describing that stagnant pull, you know, of emotions and energy, it's important that we obviously recognize that we can't control everyone around us, but what we do have a lot of control over is ourselves
and our own energy management.
Yeah.
And our own energy hygiene practices, and we'll unpack that all soon, how we can actually protect our energy and be in right relationship with our inner being.
With the dorsal vagal shutdown, that is an indication that energy has become very stagnant and stuck.
Yep.
And it's pulled to a level that's become too much for the body-mind system to handle. So I would say, like, the energy management strategies are key if
it's
you resonate with that.
And that's where a lot of people go into those deeply depressive states as well.
Yeah.
That stuck, frozen emotion and energy.
And then there's fawning.
Fawning is huge. This is such a powerful conversation for empaths, because so many empaths are living in that state of the fawn response.
So fawning is a social management strategy. It is essentially the chameleon, the people pleaser, the one that abandons themselves and does whatever is needed for the other to be okay. Mm. And so that might look like having no boundaries or very blurry boundaries, saying yes when you mean no, saying no when you mean yes, not tapping out when you need personal space to recharge, not prioritizing the things that you value and care about. And I know for me, that was years of my life of being like, I can't say that. I can't do that. I have to do what makes other people happy because, and this is linking into what you were saying, the thought of someone else not feeling okay in response to me setting a boundary felt unbearable. And so I would rather abandon my own needs and say yes, even when I don't want to, even when it puts me out, to avoid that feeling. Like, oh, I can handle feeling bad, but I can't handle the feeling of them feeling bad.
Yeah, and the shadow aspect of that is all the resentment that builds up, because when you're constantly saying yes to things that you ultimately, you know within yourself that are a no, and you're abandoning yourself over and over and over again, then you start to build that resentment towards the people that you're saying yes to. And a lot of the time, that's our family members. It's the people closest to us. And then guess what? All of that resentment and frustration comes out. It usually
like
comes
a volcano.
Out in unhealthy ways.
Yeah.
So this is the shadow side of, you know, being a disempowered empath and not managing your own energy in the correct way.
Yeah, yeah. That's something I've seen a lot, is we'll be silent and we'll abandon ourselves and we'll stuff it down and we'll be all about being nice because that's the identity that we've taken on. Like, I'm nice. I'm the good girl. I'm about being a good person, whatever label we put on it. And then that resentment and bitterness builds and builds. And then suddenly we lash out and the truth comes out. And what you also touched on around judgment, I think a lot of empaths who are disempowered, they'll put other people first in the ways that everyone can see. But inside, there can be so much judgment and making things right or wrong, like that kind of binary thinking going on.
Yeah.
And that's actually a major key in resolving the suffering and stepping into empowerment as an empath, is looking at that judgment that's going on.
Yeah, and when you're constantly abandoning yourself and not really honoring what you need, then that usually turns to different coping mechanisms or different things that you do to find pleasure in life or to feel okay. So a common one would be emotional eating or overeating. And you see it with a lot of highly sensitive people that, you know, there's a time in their journey where they are quite overweight. There can be that protective quality of gaining weight,
for sure,
which is
for sure
a huge thing. And I think a lot of people haven't connected those dots who might be overweight listening to this episode that, hey, I might be a really highly sensitive person. I might be an empath. And I might be saying yes to all these things that are really a no for me. And I don't have clear boundaries and I'm not honoring myself. And I am abandoning my own needs and desires. And look at the cost of that. I'm now emotionally eating. I'm overeating just to be able to cope with everything that I'm feeling. And that's a mismanagement of your own energy. So this is where we move the conversation into starting to transform this into a superpower, because it is a superpower. And by understanding your own stress responses that come up on a daily basis for each and every single one of us, we can start to create that interference pattern, which we've talked about, right? Which comes through our breath work. Like, hold on a minute, I'm really dysregulated. I'm overloaded. I'm feeling a lot. I need to take some time out for me. I need to do my breath work and meditation practice. I need to go for a walk. Whatever supports you, I need to take that time out to come back to myself so I can make different decisions that will actually be in service to me and ultimately in service to everyone around me.
That's it right there. And that journey that we have to make is going to come with discomfort. And I think this is the part that many of us don't want to hear, but we need to hear. For me, I can say becoming empowered as an empath has been really scary and triggering, because like I said before, I didn't know how to set boundaries and I didn't even honestly know how to be grounded in my own body.
You didn't even know what you wanted.
Right. I didn't know what I wanted. I felt like a floating head half the time. And then there'd just be, it was like a highway, just energies passing through. Is it mine? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who is it? What's going on? How's the weather today? I just didn't know.
Where am I?
And so as I started to have to take responsibility and practice recognizing what was going on within me and what my truth was, because I became committed, I made a decision to practice authenticity and to lead with truth. And so then from there, I had to start getting real about how I was actually feeling, which meant on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, checking in, am I grounded in my own body? What do I want and what do I need? One of the simple things that really helped me when it came to social situations and boundary setting was to know that I didn't have to give people answers immediately. And the reason why that was so important is because when you're used to feeling confused about what's yours and what someone else's, you may need to take time to clear your energy and sit with yourself in quiet before you know your true answer to something. Mm-hmm. For example, if someone's inviting you to a dinner or on a trip, or, hey, can you do this favor for me? The truth is that a lot of the time, in the moment, when I'm with another person or surrounded by a group of people, I don't know. I don't actually know what my true answer is. And I've learned to be okay with that. So now I'll just say, oh, I'll let you know. I'll get back to you. Like, we don't always need to close the gap to dissolve any perceived tension immediately. Like, I used to think, oh, I've got to give them an answer now, because if I don't, then they'll think something's wrong or something's weird. It's okay to delay that response to give yourself an opportunity to tune in.
Yeah, my learning has been the opposite to that, because I do know. I know automatically what my truth is, but my learning has been honoring my own truth, honoring what my own inner being needs.
Which requires courage.
Yeah, because a lot of the time I would abandon my own needs. So I knew what I needed, but I would not honor my own voice. So that looked like saying yes when it was really a no, people pleasing, you know, going into that space of just really not giving myself the opportunity to even express what I actually wanted, you know, what was real for me, and just going along with that old program, you know, of the fawn response. So I knew what I wanted, but I had to learn how to honor that and how to use my voice to speak up for what I wanted, because I think for a long time my voice was shut down and I felt like on some level it wasn't safe to express myself. It wasn't safe to use my voice. It wasn't safe to speak my truth. So I had to learn to find safety in expressing myself and claiming what I actually wanted.
That's one thing that I think probably some people don't, a lot of people wouldn't know about you, but I, as someone who is lucky enough to be in relationship with you, get to see every week, is actually how empowered you are and how deeply you have embodied what you've just described. When it comes to speaking your truth, you do it well. And something that I have seen, and you've been a teacher for me on, is you're okay with people not liking you. You're okay with offending people. And you're okay with disappointing people. You don't overly explain yourself. You'll leave a social situation when you're done. You're prioritizing your needs. And it doesn't mean that you have to go, you know, all or nothing, where you're like, oh, I can't go to that thing. You're like, I'm going to go, but I'm going for 1 hour, not five. And what for you, I think this would help because it helps me so much. What helps you to give less fucks about what people think of you? And as an empath, you know, when you can feel maybe that someone's like, oh, Lucas is a bit of a snob, or does he think he's better than us, or, oh, is he rejecting us right now? How do you navigate that?
Yeah, I just know that judgment is a part of human nature. So everyone judges each other, and people are going to judge you regardless of your decisions. So if that judgment's coming either way, and you know that it's coming because that's just how human beings are, then you cannot take it personally. And I think that's the key as empaths and highly sensitive people. We can take things so personally, but not everything deserves a reaction. So my process with that is, it's not personal to me. I'm not there to manage other people's feelings. I'm not there to manage other people's disappointment. I'm there to honor my own inner being and my own like true desires of what feels aligned for me. And the truth is, I don't fuck with many people. I keep my circle small, and that's for a reason. And it's just the awareness that, you know, I don't vibe with everyone, just like everyone doesn't vibe with me. And I associate and, you know, spend time with people that I vibe with. It really comes down to vibration for me. It is a vibe thing. You know, if I feel that connection between someone on a soul level, then I'm going to want to spend time with them. If I don't, then I'm not going to fuck with them, and I'm not going to abandon myself to do that anymore. I've got into a place where I deeply honor myself, and I'm not going back. Like, I've done too much work to even contemplate going back. We're going forward, baby. We're expanding. We're going to the next level. And that for me requires deep honesty of what is, you know, ultimately my truth and what I need in the moment.
Yeah. What I hear and witness with you is that you have worked so deeply on cultivating self-love and self-worth. And you know you're a good person. You know that your heart's in the right place. And you don't need to prove that to other people in a way that compromises your own well-being.
No, people will see their own reflection in you, and they'll see their own shadow in you, and they'll project their own negativity and pain and resentments and judgments and limitations onto you. So I can be whatever you want. I can be whatever you want. Whatever you see me as, that is your reflection. So I don't have to be the loving person. I can be the bad guy. I can be whatever you want. I don't give a fuck how you see me. That's on you. It's none of my business to manage your perception of me and people's judgments. That's their own business. My business is to stay in alignment with the deepest parts of me, to be in alignment with, you know, the universe, to be in alignment with my spirit and God, and lead from the heart. I know that I'm misunderstood. I know that as we continue to grow and expand with Awaken, we will continue to be misunderstood. That's not my business. My business is to be of service and to lead from my spirit. So I think that's what really helps me, is to have that, you know, deeper connection to myself, and then understand that human beings are designed to judge. It's a part of the human condition. So I'm not going to take that on board.
Okay. So on a practical level, what helps you when you feel people's projections? Let's say when you need to pull away and focus on your own self-care, or you're not available to go to the dinner party, or, you know, whatever it may be, what helps you to center yourself? Let's say, hypothetically, that you did feel the projection coming your way, and it was, you know, some bad vibes and you sensed it, right? You're an empath. You can feel it. Just because you prioritize your own well-being and you have the self-love and the self-worth doesn't mean it doesn't get received. It doesn't hit you. Like, I see it. I see that there are times when the projections come and you're like, I'm aware of that. And now I have to go do my practices. So let's just talk about, on a practical level, like, what helps you to clear that energy, to come back to your center, to feel well and clear?
Yeah, well, it's just feedback, right? That's just information. So when someone's projecting their own negativity, their limitations, their fears, insecurities onto you, their disappointment, whatever it might be, that is just feedback. And you get to decide what you do with that information. So for me, I use it like, is this the type of person that I want to spend time with? Do I want to, you know, give this person energy? And if they're projecting that onto me, then probably not. I'm probably going to distance myself from them. No love lost. Go be you. Be free out in the world and do your thing. And I'm going to follow what feels right and aligned for me. And then when it comes down to my practices to move that energy as an empath, if I've felt all of that, then you know what it is. Awaken breathwork all day. We do breathwork every single day, and we meditate on a daily basis. And this is where we start to get into the talk of our hygiene practices, specifically energy hygiene practices. And someone might be listening to this and being like, what's an energy hygiene practice? Like, I've never heard of that. Just like we've been, you know, taught that we need to wash our physical bodies every single day to stay clean, we also have an energetic body. And it's important that we keep that clean too on a daily basis. So breath work, meditation, grounding out in nature, time alone, these are all practices that I use on a daily basis to come back home to myself and to be able to manage my own energy and to be able to clear and release what is not mine. Because we are constantly taking on board other people's energy and emotions. That's what we do for work. You know, that's an everyday process for us. So these practices are so important for empaths to be able to clear and release what's not yours. And we talk about the daily maintenance, right? And then we talk about the deeper therapeutic work, and both are needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the practices that we've been doing for years is we work with energy protection, shielding. Whenever we go out to a party, a gathering, a networking event, a lunch, whatever, we will do visualization work, imagining a protective field around us, zipping up, sealing that energy field, being clear, protected, having our guides watching over us. And we'll work with prayer as well. You know, you can work with prayer with whatever higher intelligence resonates with you. But as an example, you might ask for protection from Archangel Michael or from a guide or loved one that you have. And then we also work with white light a lot of the time, you know, doing visualizations of a clearing white light around us when we get home from being out and about, whether it's in an Uber on a way to an appointment or with a group or at an event or with a client or whatever it may be. Every single time we're out interacting, we're diligent about the practices and doing those clearing rituals. So one thing that I remember when I had a 9-to-5 job years back, I got into the habit of doing is every single day when I would get home from work, before I would walk in the door to see you, I remember I would arrive at our apartment and I would stand on the little doormat outside of our house and I would stand there and I'd be like, okay. And I'd close my eyes and I would visualize myself in white light and imagine that everything from the day was being cleared, dissolved, and transformed.
We like to say the white light has a vacuuming-like effect.
Yeah.
So it just vacuums out anything in our energy field that is not there for the highest good.
And it was like, okay, this is actually my way not only of respecting myself, but respecting you. And one thing I love about being around other empaths and highly sensitive people is it also calls me to a higher standard of energy hygiene because I'm aware of how deeply they also feel. And I don't want to bring my energetic dirt and debris into spaces of people that I love and respect. And so, again, if you're motivated by external sources, if you find that you're a little people pleaser, channel it into your advantage. You know, remember that energetic hygiene impacts not only you, but everyone around you. And I know from firsthand experience that when I'm around people who have zero awareness of their own energy hygiene, I feel it. It puts me off being around them because I feel like I have to do double duty work usually to clear myself after being in the presence of that. So I think this is one of the ways that without going into victim consciousness, like I'm not going, oh, poor me, you know, woe is me, I have to do this. It's a part of life as a sensitive person, but I'm also taking notes, as you said, like it's feedback and information to go, okay, as an empath navigating this world who loves themselves and cares about feeling good, do I feel good in this person's presence? And that's not to say that people can't have hard days, negative emotions, you know, be going through things. It doesn't all have to be rainbows and butterflies. But when someone isn't taking any responsibility for their own energy and thought forms and behavior and emotions and direction in life, we get to ask ourselves, does being in this person's presence support me? Or is this like a one-way transaction or a one-way street where I'm just the giver? Because what I found in my life for a long time is that I was in these relationships where I was the space holder, the counselor, and the giver, and I was not receiving anything back. I would just leave every interaction feeling drained.
Mm.
And I didn't question it until I did.
Mm.
And then I started to make changes.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like I live in two different worlds. One of the worlds that I live in is our work with Awaken and being of service. And with that world, you know, I can walk through the darkness on purpose. I can know that whatever room I walk into, I am there for a reason. God has put me there and I'm there to be of service, and I'm there to alchemize and transform that darkness by shining awareness on it. So I can be in those rooms for hours with all of that unconsciousness and darkness and everything that's going on, and it doesn't impact me, and I don't even need to protect myself because I know that I am protected on the deepest levels and I'm there to be of service. So when I walk into those rooms and I help people that are going through really intense, you know, situations in life, whether that's generational trauma, whatever it might be, I'm there for a reason and I know that I have work to do. Now, when it comes to the second part of, you know, my world, which is just hanging out with people and just, you know, spending my own personal time with people, then I'm more inclined to do what you said. I will question whether this person is in alignment for me to hang around, and I will know my truth by the way I feel. And that's a big one for empaths. You know your truth by the way it feels.
Sure.
And then you've got to honor that, you know. So just know that if you are in a service industry and you are dealing with a lot of heavy emotions and energy. I know that a lot of light workers and empaths work in, you know, all different types of roles. Many are like nurses and hospitals and dealing with a lot of heavy energy all the time. And it's important that when you come home from that space that you have some sort of practices that support your energetic and emotional health, whatever it might be, so you don't turn to these coping mechanisms to deal with what you're feeling, and you're able to process and let go of what is not yours to hold on to. And I think that's a really big part of this conversation. Another thing I feel really called to talk about is how being an empath is a superpower, because when I walk into a room knowing that I am exactly where I am meant to be and I am there on service, God has put me in that room for a reason, I can feel what everyone is feeling. They don't need to tell me. And because I have that information, I know exactly what to do.
Right. The more information that you have when it comes to relating to people and creating connections, the more of an advantage you have, right, in building trust and rapport and really attuning to the genuine needs of the moment. And I think we all can recall at least a time where we felt truly seen by someone, and how meaningful that is, and how much safer we feel when someone actually demonstrates that they give a shit about how we feel, and they're not just talking at us. Mm. But there's a synchronization of energy. There's a heart coherence that starts to take place. That is powerful. Mm. And as an empath, we have the ability to do that. And even more so when we are also grounded and connected to ourselves. See, I think what I thought for a long time was that if I was bringing my energy and attention back to me, that I would lose the ability to attune to other people. But it's not that way at
it
all.
It becomes stronger.
It does.
Because
it
you're
more healthy.
Yeah, you're simultaneously connected to yourself and your own inner being, and you're receiving that information and feedback without losing yourself in the source.
Yeah, right there. Exactly. So that's been a huge game changer for me. And being able to feel and see the effect that, I can only speak for myself, right, that I can have on people as an empath.
Mm.
I know how deep and how meaningful that is. And I also know what it feels like to be on the receiving end of that. And I think the world really needs more empathic, attuned individuals who are self-aware and empowered and not shrinking, right? Like, you can be powerful,
mm,
and you can know your worth, and you can take up space.
Yeah, that's a huge one for empaths, learning to take up space, learning to, you know, speak your truth and put yourself out there, because often empaths will know what they're feeling, but they won't honor it fully because they don't trust the feedback that they're getting, you know? So it's important as an empath to really trust what you're feeling is accurate.
Yeah.
It's huge.
That's a big one, being able to trust what you're feeling. And I think, I don't know about you, I don't remember if we've ever even spoken about this 17 years on and we learn something new every day. For me, as a kid, I remember people saying, you're so sensitive, you're too sensitive. Like saying that that was too much, wrong, annoying. And I became distrustful of myself.
Yeah.
Like, oh, don't acknowledge that. Don't let yourself feel how you truly feel. Shove it down, ignore it. People don't want to hear it. And then I would kind of begin to gaslight myself. And later on in life, you know, as an adult, I started to realize, whoa, I'll have an idea or I'll want to say something in a room. Like, let's say we're in a dinner party and I'll be like, oh, I've got something to say. I've got something to add. And then instead of just taking up space and allowing myself to say it, I would be like, no one wants to hear from you. You're annoying.
Yeah, you dim your own light. You dim your own light just to fit in.
Right. And that is where I think it's important for us to discuss sometimes your empathy and your ability to absorb or connect and merge with the emotions and energy of the environment around you can get confused with you actually overlaying onto the environment your own fears or insecurities or programmed expectations.
Or judgment of what's happening.
Or judgments. So sometimes when you're at the dinner party and you're feeling like you're annoying, you're not reading the energy. You're not feeling someone else's emotion. You're actually making up a story. And that is key, because when you can catch the stories that you are generating within yourself and the feelings that you're reactively anticipating may arise to protect yourself, then once you wake up to that, you can start to question it. You can start to free yourself from that, and you can start to learn what it feels like through like exposure therapy, essentially, to take up space and be like, oh, I did that. Oh, I set a boundary. Oh, I spoke my truth.
Yeah, you don't
and
allow
it was
that
okay.
Fear to stop you, to limit you. You actually choose love over fear. Like, you choose the practice of honoring yourself, self-love, which is a daily practice. So you choose that over allowing that fear to lead you, you know, and run the show. And I think that's really what it comes down to for each and every single one of us, is learning to lead into that. Learning to lead from love and choose love over fear and empower ourselves, because we are our own coaches. We are our own healers. You know, we are here in this world to make a difference and to use our abilities as a superpower to support people and, you know, processing their own emotions and letting go of the things that have hurt them. And we do have those innate healing abilities. Each and every single one of us has access to that if we allow ourselves to step into that role. If it's something that we feel, you know, that is a part of our calling in this lifetime, we get to honor that and we get to use our sensitivity as a gift. We get to be empowered in it and not let it be a source of something that we feel disempowered in. So as we start to come to a completion of this episode, is there anything that you feel that you want to say that we haven't covered?
I honestly feel pretty complete here. I feel like this was a very necessary conversation. I want to remind people that being an empath is a superpower. As we've said, your ability to attune and connect and have compassion is what makes this world a brighter place. Sensitivity is natural. It is a natural way of being. I think our numbness is actually what's really unnatural. So returning to this natural intelligence and this way of connecting in a way that is also honoring that you also matter and not everything is about you, and regulating your own energy will allow you to see every situation, including what's going on inside, a whole lot more clearly.
I want to remind everyone that when you feel overwhelmed or you feel lost in the source, like you can't tell what is yours and what is someone else's, to take time out for yourself through whatever practice resonates with you. For us, it's awakened breath work, meditation, going for a walk, time in nature, journaling, simple practices that can support you to ground your energy and come back home to yourself.
Yeah, and stop comparing yourself to non-empath people who are like more robust in their energy system. I think like you've got to just make your own rules.
Yeah.
You've got to do you.
You've got to follow what is right for you and stop giving a fuck what is right for other people.
Yeah.
Really tune into your own needs and honor them.
All right. Over and out.
Over and out.
Big love, everyone. Empath empowerment all the way.
See you in the next episode.